Good evening, everyone.
Good
evening. Am I muted? Let's see if some magic can happen here. I'm off mute. On the inside.
Talk now?
Testing, 1, 2. Testing. Do we have a signal?
Does it still say mute on?
Testing.
Okay, then.
It's a mystery. Testing. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? It's live, I promise. Well, you know, sometimes God uses wilderness valleys to teach us things we could never learn on the mountaintop. I frequently go to Exodus chapter 3. And I go there especially when the enemy tempts me to believe I've made just too many mistakes. In this story, we find Moses living in the desert for 40 years in a dead-end career. You see, he's a shepherd. And in the latter part of the book of Genesis, we find that being a shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. Moses grew up in Egypt, right? We know that. And here he is in the desert, a shepherd. I'm pretty sure he wasn't very excited about his career. But I'm sure of one thing. I'm sure that it humbled him. He hasn't stopped working. He hasn't stopped worshiping. He hasn't stopped seeking God. And we find him in this scene, a regular everyday kind of day in the office. And in this scene, he's about to get a surprise visitor and a new job offer. And he's about to learn and realize that it's never too late to be what he could have been. I'm going to recite the longest passage that I'm sharing at camp meeting this whole 10 days. So I want you to bear with it, okay? Because this is better than any Hollywood movie. Because this is God Himself. God Himself speaking to one man. So here's what I'd like you to do. Not only if you have your Bibles, follow along as I recite, but I'd like you to imagine yourself in Moses' shoes. All right? The God of heaven is talking to you. This has really brought this story to life for me. So I'll be reciting from the New King James Version, chapter 3, and the first 20 verses of chapter 4. This is a powerful, powerful story that is never too late. Now Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him from a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." When the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look, God called to Moses from the midst of the bush, saying, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And God said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Moreover, God said to Moses, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob."
And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Then God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Then God said to Moses, But I will surely be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, If indeed, when I go to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? Then God said, I am who I am. Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and my memorial to all generations. Go, gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared to me saying, I have surely visited you, and I have seen what is done to you in Egypt. So I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of the Egyptians to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, The God of our fathers, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So please, let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that he will not let you go, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the land of Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be, when you leave, you will not leave empty-handed. For every woman shall ask of her neighbor, that is, she who lives near her home, articles of gold, articles of silver and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Then Moses said to God, But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice? Suppose they say, The Lord has not appeared to you? Then God said, What is that in your hand? Moses said, A rod. Then God said, Throw it down on the ground. So Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. And then God said to Moses, Now reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Then it shall be,
that they may believe that the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, now put your hand in your bosom. So Moses put his hand in his bosom, and when he pulled it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said to Moses, now put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again, and when he pulled it out of his bosom, behold, his hand was restored like his other flesh. That they may believe. If they will not believe the first sign or listen to your voice, that they may believe the latter sign. And it shall be, if they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. And the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before or since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Then God said to Moses, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute or the deaf, the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you will send. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he's coming to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth. And I will teach you both what you shall do. And he will be a spokesman to the people. And he shall be as a mouth to you. And you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod with which you shall do the signs. Then Moses went and returned to his father-in-law Jethro in Midian and said to him, please, let me return to my brethren who are in Egypt, that I may know whether they are still alive. Then Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Then God said to Moses in Midian, go, return to the land of Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead. So Moses took his wife and his two sons and put them on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Notice the list of names God uses in his family tree. His family tree of faith. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Very interesting to me that God doesn't use the name he gave Jacob later on in his life. Isn't that interesting? He named him Israel, right? Israel means Prince of God. And you know, in the Hebrew culture, your name was everything to you. Because it was the legacy you were going to leave for your family. It was like a prophecy. But God uses Jacob's birth name in his signature. And it was a symbol of hope for Moses, a man like Moses, and people like us. You see, God doesn't look at your past to determine your future. He sees your potential. He knows what he can do in you and what he can do through you. But suppose they don't believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Lord, I'm not a preacher. I don't have a theology degree. Maybe you forgot, Lord, but I didn't go to the seminary. I don't do public speaking. In fact, to be honest, it kind of freaks me out. Why would anyone believe me? Why would they want to listen to me? I think you've got the wrong guy. But God gives a powerful answer by asking a question. "What is that in your hand?" "Well, sir, it's a rod. And you know, I grew up in Egypt, and God, you probably don't know this, but back in Egypt, it's a big downer. You know, it's an abomination. And God, I'm pretty sure they won't even let me across the border because I'm sure they're going to laugh at me and hold me in immigration. You see, this rod isn't much, God. It's a lowly job, and it basically shows that I haven't done much with my life. God said, throw it down. Throwing down our past, our dreams, our talents before God changes everything. Because He can transform them into a powerful supernatural witness. Amen?
Amen.
Did you notice how Moses' rod becomes God's rod? Did you notice that? In Hebrews 4:20, the last verse I recited, it says, "And Moses took the rod of God in his hand." Isn't that amazing? Well, Moses had a calling. But you might be thinking, that's really great. You're talking about Moses. He gets a new job offer. But I don't know what God's wanting me to do. I don't know what God's calling is on my life. You might say, Chris, that's easy for you to talk about. You're a film producer. You're living your dream life. But it took me years to get to this point in my career, in my life serving God. I can remember several times after college, I was doing accounting, I was doing spreadsheets, and I'll be honest, even in a back room doing auditing inventory in some back room, and I can remember having an out-of-body experience several times where, you know, I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but I'm just kind of looking down on my situation, and the question is, what are you doing here? Later on, I became a healthcare administrator in an Adventist hospital. I was there for several years before I started several small businesses, before I ever got started doing broadcasting or film production. But you know, one thing I learned when I look back over my career, especially my accounting background, nothing was wasted. And listen, here's the point. I've learned that God is much less concerned about what I'm doing. Listen to me. He's much less concerned about what I'm doing than in what I'm becoming. Does that make sense? You see, the devil can work miracles too. He can turn a rod into a snake. That's no big deal. That's why God is concerned much more about your character development. Because He knows that's the greatest miracle of all. That's the power that can change the world. All throughout the scriptures, God shows He's desiring to work through human agencies. The divine human partnership. I mean, God could write on the sky, right? God could take a big felt tip marker and write His whatever He wants to get through the human race. He could put His angels on the top of Mount Banff or whatever mountain He wanted to sing the choir of heaven. But for some reason, He's chosen you and me to be His mediums. And every single one of you has this really unique personality and set of skills that no one else in the universe has. And you're just as critical to God as Moses. And when you capture that, when you believe that, then your life is anything but average. It's anything but boring. He's got a specific calling to you for your life. So you say, I don't know what my calling is. How can I find it? I'll share three quick points that have helped me in my journey. I'm sure there's many more, but these have helped me. Number one, remember your childhood. Remember your childhood. Take some time to write down all the things you can remember that you enjoyed doing or dreamed of doing. Even the silly games you'd play as a kid can be very enlightening. I remember when I was 5 years old, I was very serious about doing church. I used to have the neighborhood kids come out in the yard, and I'd organize them into a congregation. We even had a middle aisle, just like this one, just like every church has. And I won't bet my life on it, but I'm pretty sure I had a bulletin, even. One day my parents, they just recently reminded me, I had forgotten of this, so it's good to have your parents' input, by the way, that's a good thing too. But they reminded me recently that they remember that I ran in crying one day. I was upset because one of the neighborhood boys would not bow his head when I was having closing prayer. A major crisis. I mentioned a few nights ago, my aunt reminded me at 4 years old, I'd go around in the room with a hairbrush interviewing people in the room, pretending that I was a talk show host. 4 years old. When I was 8 years old, I wrote a play about Christopher Columbus. I don't know why. I was eight. Maybe because my name is Christopher, I don't know. But I made 3 ships out of refrigerator boxes. And I wrote a script and we had a cast of characters and we performed at my brother's 8th grade graduation. It was a big, big event. I think there were maybe 25 people in the room. It was a big, big event. Are these examples silly? Yeah, they're silly. Are they prophetic? Apparently so. Apparently so. Number two, feedback from the body. Ephesians 4:12 tells us there's one reason you got talents from God. To edify the body of Christ. That's the only reason God gave you your talents. We're talking about building up and blessing the church with your talents. So getting feedback from the body is critical. We're not talking about going around and getting a pat on the back. We're talking about being sensitive to whether or not you're actually edifying your brothers and sisters in the church. So, for example, let's say you always wanted to be a musician, right? And you like to sing up front and do special music in your local church. But after the service, you're out in the lobby, and the only thing people like to talk about around you after you've sung is the weather. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's probably not your calling. Singing is probably not your calling in that example. Number three, providence. Being sensitive to God's leading is critical. Many of His callings are seasons in life, and we have to be willing to turn the page. And I think sometimes this is the most challenging of all, because there's so many options and doors to walk through, right? And I wonder how many times I've missed the call of providence. Listen, because I've been too busy. Maybe doing ministry. Or other good things. Did you notice that God waited till Moses turned aside before He spoke to him? Did you catch that in the story? God didn't shout across the desert, "Yo, Moses! I got something to say to you. Come here." And God waits for you and me to turn aside before He speaks to us personally. He respects you that much. He also yearns for you to listen to Him because He knows how your talents will bless the most people. He knows you. He created you from eternity past. He knew this time in history you were going to breathe and work and love in your own unique way. And you know what the most amazing thing is that I'm finding? Whatever blesses the most people through your talents, ultimately, is what brings you the most joy. So there's a double advantage. It's win-win. God is excited at the thought of partnering with you just as much as He was with Moses. And when you look back over your life, even if you've spent years in what you thought was a dead-end career, you'll see that nothing was wasted. And your story will have irresistible power. My favorite verse in this whole passage is verse 7 of chapter 3, because it shows the heart of God. He says, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Can you feel the heart of God? Can you feel how big He feels and sympathizes with whatever you're going through right now? When you recite your story, this is the revelation that is most irresistible to the world. You know why? Because the world is dying to know there's a God in heaven who loves them no matter what. A God who offers second chances. There's a Bible verse I keep on my mirror in my bathroom at home. And it reminds me every day of a reality that my eyes can't see. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, Moses confidently declares, this is an amazing verse, it's worthy for you to put on your mirror and look at it every day. The Lord your God, He it is that goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Pretty simple, pretty powerful, isn't it? God loves you as if you're the only one alive right now. That's how much He loves you. And no matter what you've done or where you've been, He's telling you right now, I'm with you. I have a great plan for your life. It's not too late. Throw down your talents before me. Throw down your dreams. Throw down your past mistakes. And I promise you, I'll transform your life and your story beyond your wildest dreams. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you praise, O Lord God, that you condescend to come down and speak to us personally, just as you did to Moses. And I pray for each person here tonight, Lord, that you would speak to them personally, that they would turn aside and see the burning love of God's heart for them, so that their story can be transformed, that you can use to build up your kingdom and build them up at the same time, healing every hurt, every pain in each heart, because you're faithful and you're more than able to do what you promise. And more than anything, God, I thank you that you promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.